Whew. Thank you. Oh, thanks, Ben. We love you too.
Somebody just want to close in prayer? I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm blessed, man. There's nobody more blessed than us to be involved with the Tree of Life Church. Our lives have been changed in the last 5 or 6 years beyond all recognition. We thought we knew stuff, but we hadn't got a clue. And we've learned an awful lot, courtesy of Ben and everybody else here, and Lee and Corwin and everybody else that you know or don't know yet, but maybe you should. And they've let us run with things that other churches haven't. We got in trouble for putting umbrellas up in one church while we were singing a song based on Singing in the Rain, because it's unlucky to put umbrellas up in church. We'll do that one day.
We will do it.
The wise man built his house upon the rock, but he was singing in the rain. You get it, follows, doesn't it? Umbrellas in church. They'll be putting shoes on the altar next. That sort of thing. So we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot. As if by magic, an umbrella appeared. I'm singing in the rain. No, we're good. But that's another story. So, what we'd like to do this evening, Ben, in a very timely fashion, said, I think it might have been Sunday, there's nothing more dangerous than somebody operating outside of their anointing. So we're not going to speak much tonight. We don't want to be that dangerous, because we generally hide behind these things, don't we?
And, we do.
But my favourite speaker is on in a short while. I can't wait to hear what she's got to share. We're going to tell a little bit about our stories, how we came together, how we came to do this, which was never going to happen, but now it happens on a regular basis. And everyone's going to pull it all together with a timely word. And we've got some pictures to show you to make you laugh, because we like to have a laugh in church. Okay? So when I got saved, getting on for 20 years ago now, this was one of the first songs we wrote, because I learned that you can take the Bible and use it as song words. And there's 150 songs in there, they're called the Psalms. And I got as far as the first one. And one of the first songs we wrote, it says, if you want to see the words there, most of them are in Psalm 1, whatever version you're using. It says, blessed is the man who doesn't do this, doesn't do this, doesn't do this, but does this. So we just turned that around and said, well, I'm doing this, therefore I am blessed. Okay,
yeah,
that's how simple we are. And this song is called Blessed. And we should have been on the Saturday night, really, after everybody had gone home. Yeah. The secret Saturday night show that nobody knew was on.
Yeah.
But we're on Thursday night. Thank you very much. And every time we get up to speak, we have spoken once or twice in the past. I said to Vaughn, I'm not going to clown about tonight, love. She says, yeah, I believe that. So
all right.
Okay. So the first part of this evening is, because Vaughn's testimony is more rooted in history than mine. She's going to kick the ball off, and we've got some pictures to illustrate. Joel, if we could have the Vonsk slideshow, please.
Can I put your... there's going to be lots of ahs. That was when I was in the girls' brigade. I guess I was about 8. Oh, goodness. Thanks, darling, for putting all these pictures on there.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, praise God. Aren't you just so blessed to be following the Lord? You know, it's in his righteousness. I sit, I walk, I stand, I do anything. Because it's his righteousness. He's made us righteous. I loved what Daniel said this afternoon. Oh, or was it Lee? I can't remember. No, Lee. That I am in Christ. No, it was Daniel. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. But I am seated in him in the heavenly places. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. How's that? You know, I think we're invincible, actually. You know, and when the enemy comes, I wasn't going to say this, but when the enemy comes along and goes, da, 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 you can just go, stop. I'm not listening to you. Go away. That's it. That's all you have to do. Stand, says in the word, doesn't it? You know, you stand. No, I belong to God. He's more powerful than anything and anybody in the whole of the universe. He created everything. Hallelujah. What a treat. Okay, so it says in the word, they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and because they didn't love their lives unto death, right? So we'd just like to tell you a little bit of our story. We're not preachers, okay? So if you come to hear our most fantastic preach, like Ben does it, I'm in awe when Ben preaches. I'm in awe when, you know, the other lovely people. I'm in awe when Peter preaches in Chelmsford, because their grasp of Hebrew and Greek and all those things is just amazing. But what we can do, and is personal to us, and when you do it, it's personal to you, is that your testimony is your testimony of your rescue and what the Almighty God has done for you. So I'd just like to tell you about my rescue, if you like. I mean, I've known Jesus since I was, oh goodness, that was the first band. I've known Jesus since I was about seven, so it's not like, you know, I was into drugs and all this kind of stuff. I was seven, right? And I got to know Jesus because my mum and dad loved Jesus, and they always told me about the Lord, right? So I grew up kind of knowing, and then I said, Jesus, I want you, okay? And you go on from there, don't you? Okay, so as I grew up, I became a pastor's wife. Chris and I have been married before. Okay, and let me tell you about our kids. I've got two grown-up boys. We now have five grandchildren. I've got two stepchildren because Chris has James and Rebecca, and they're a bit younger than my kids, right? Because there's a little bit of an age gap. I don't know if you noticed, but there is. Okay, just to say that, get it out of the, you know. So we've got five grandchildren. So I was married before to a Baptist minister. And we were married for 20 years. I don't want anybody doing maths, okay? We were married for 20 years and had our two boys. So I was a pastor's wife. I used to preach, I used to teach, I used to lead women's groups. We had something called WOW, which was, you know, all the we had several churches, and all the women in our network of churches would come together for a women's thing, and we would have a great time, and we had some great preachers. So that's the kind of thing I was doing. And we traveled. We had a church in Belgium. We lived in Belgium for a couple of years. Now, I'm not telling you all of this to go, oh, wow, isn't she amazing? But I want to tell you this because of God's rescue, okay, how he puts things right, okay? So we lived in Belgium. We helped with a church in Belgium. We had a church in London. We had about five churches in England. We looked after a group in Canada in Calgary. We also traveled to Nicaragua to help with folks in Nicaragua, in Poland, and we helped set up a clinic in Romania. And it was things going on like this, so it was very, very busy. And we lived in London, and we had a cafe on the Holloway Road called Crumbles, so I used to cook for the cafe. But it was one of those ones that was kind of attached to the church. And what the whole thing we wanted to do was people come in the cafe, have a fantastic breakfast, lunch, tea, whatever, and then they go, what is the atmosphere in here? And then you could tell them about Jesus, you know, which that was the whole idea of the cafe. And I was part of the worship team, and I used to do pastoral things. We had a little college that was attached to the church in London, and people would give up a year of their time, and they would come, and they would learn from the teachers that we brought in. And I would teach them things like life management, you know, how to sit at a table and eat, and how to talk on the telephone, and how to love one another, those kind of things, right? Okay, so it was very, very busy, and some of the time, I was in one place at one of our churches, my husband would be somewhere else, or I'd be working in the cafe, or he'd be abroad doing something or other. And really, we were too busy because we didn't give time to one another, really. We had the boys and we had lots of things going on. And so you can imagine everything going on. And then one day, I mean, he was just about to start preaching at Spring Harvest. We were going to do a great big crusade in Belgium. And he came to me and he said, I'm really sorry, but I've fallen in love with somebody else. Now, what do you do? What do you do when that happens? You know, it was like, well, in a way, I wasn't quite surprised because I think the Holy Spirit had been trying to tell me what was going on, but I hadn't wanted to listen. You know when the Holy Spirit's saying things to you, and I thought, no, it's just me being jealous, or it's just me thinking this up. But the Holy Spirit was actually telling me, and I wasn't listening. Anyway, what do you do when your whole life that you thought was going good with God is in tatters around your feet? You know, it's unthinkable. And it wasn't just me. This was about 800 or more people that were going to be affected in various places. And, I mean, in the end, he went off with the girl and the churches kind of dissolved and people were sad, people were upset. And I reckoned at the time I had two options, right? One was to go, God, how could you let that happen to me when I've done all this stuff? You know, I thought it was going good and you've let it, you know, and walk away from the Lord. You could do that, couldn't you? The temptation would be there, wouldn't it? Or you could go, Father God, you have said in your word that you are my refuge and my strength. You said you are my strong tower. You have said in the Psalms, you will heal up, you will bind up the brokenhearted and you heal their wounds. You have said that you will keep me until the day. You've said you'll bring to completion the things that you've started in me. And you will look after my boys. My boys were hurting like mad. And it's then when you take hold of the word and you speak it back to the Lord, don't you? And you remind him of his promises. Right, now I know that at that moment, I chose to do that. And I just ran into the Lord, right? And snuggled into him because you know he's your father. And you can snuggle into your heavenly father. He just loves you, doesn't he? And I can tell you that everything in the word, everything that he promised, everything that he said is absolutely true. And when he says he'll look after you, he will look after you. He will keep you. Hallelujah. Now, I would love to say that that was the end of that and everything was hunky-dory and I did everything good. I didn't make any bad choices. Have you ever made bad choices? Have you ever done stupid things? You know, and I hadn't heard the grace message at this point. I love Jesus with all my heart, right? And I wanted to follow him. But, you know, I wasn't, I was a little bit flaky. Can we say flaky? Is that a good word? We all get flaky sometimes. So I did a really stupid thing because I moved house and I moved back to Ipswich. I'd been living in Northamptonshire and I moved back to Ipswich because I thought that would be a good idea. And Father provided a house for me, which was great. And I went to the local church, which is New Frontiers Church, and started to get stuck in there. But I found I was struggling with church. I loved God. I loved the Lord Jesus. But church was a bit like, I don't think I can do this. You know, there was all sorts. You can see, when you've been in that situation, you can see things going on, can't you? You go, oh, no, I don't think I want to see that. Or there's politics or, you know. And so I did a stupid thing. And I said to the Lord, I can't cope with church, so I'm going to leave. All right? And you know, I can do this, Lord, I can do it. And he said, he did say to me, you know you're nothing without my Holy Spirit, don't you? Right? But I thought, no, I can do this. So I left church, and from that moment onwards, I went downhill. And I slipped down a slippery slope big time, right? Now, I was still talking to the Lord, and he was talking to me, and he loved me the whole of that time. I know that because he still had his hand. He never lets go of you. When you've given your life to Jesus, he never, ever lets go of you because he loves you too much. But we make stupid choices sometimes. And I can think he's going, Vaughn, why did you do that? You know, right? I can remember once in the car saying, God, don't let go of me. Please don't let go of me. And I heard him say, do you think I'm really going to let go of you after all the hard work I've put into you? You know, the Lord has a good joke sometimes, doesn't he? And it made me feel good. But I still was on this dodgy little path. And when I was on this dodgy little path, right, guess who I found on the slope, right? Woo! I think you could do that now. Should we do a song? Yeah, I'm finished. No, we're going to sing another song. This is another song that was the first one that we... I must just can I tell them about how God saying that you were really special?
Oh, please.
Can I say that?
You know, I like that.
Right. Because I know he won't tell you that. But he'll tell you how we got to go out together and stuff, which was, you know, nice, really. Anyway, he came back to my house, and he was sitting on my sofa. And you know when you feel the presence of God? You know, even if you're in a dodgy place, you still feel the presence of God because he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he said to me, it was almost like he pointed at Chris, and he said, this man is very, very precious. He's very tender, and you're not to do anything to hurt him. Now, I heard that almost audibly, and it was like, whoa, Lord, that's amazing. Anyway, when we did get together, he'll tell you about that bit. This was one of the first songs that we wrote as well.
Because I wasn't saved at this point. I'll tell you where I was in a minute. This is a song, when I first became a believer, the phrase born again was like a curse word. Oh, those born again types. You ever been called a born again type? But if you read in the book, Jesus himself says, you must be born again. So can there be any other kind of Christian? It's like having, how many kinds of nut are there? So, as a protest against born again being a derogatory term to some people, we wrote this song called Born Again, because I felt I had been born again. And I haven't got the words for this one either, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I can remember
this one.
Anyway, so as I say, as this protest vote, the words born and again appear quite a lot in this song. Anyway, that's you spot the likeness there. I got saved at a very young age. That's a pulpit. That's not a pram. That's a pulpit, and yeah, I have more hair then. Anyway, I want to read you the words to a song by one of my favourite singers. I'm sure you've heard of Rich Mullins. He wrote "Our God Is an Awesome God." He wrote lots of great songs. If you don't know Rich Mullins, he's not what you'd call. Well, he died in 1997 at the age of 42. He was killed in a car crash. But he wrote some songs. He was a very outspoken fella, and they tried to label him as like a contemporary Christian musician. But he was just a follower of Jesus, and he sang the truth, and he sang some outrageous stuff, which was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. There's a song he wrote called "If I Stand." He wrote this in 1988, and when I first got saved and discovered Christian music, I thought, "Wow, this is Christian music. You can do this." He wrote a song called "If I Stand." There's more that rises in the morning than the sun, and more that shines in the night than just the moon. It's more than just this fire here that keeps me warm, and a shelter that's larger than this room. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiment, and a music higher than the songs that I can sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance that I owe only to the giver of all good things. I love that line. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you'll pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that has born in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a man who is longing for his home. If you're not familiar with Rich Mullins' stuff, I suggest you might like to YouTube him. He's fantastic stuff. Do you know, I was wondering what I was going to say once we were given this privilege. And Eric this morning, is Eric here this morning? Eric gave me everything I wanted to say in what he said this morning as an opener. Let me just quote from some of the notes I made that Eric brought this morning. He spoke from Isaiah 43 and verse 7. He said, "We are God's creation, and we're made by him for his glory." That's it. Thanks, Eric. And if you don't know the proper usage of a product, you might handle it wrongly. Yeah, whether it be a cleaning product or what? Mastic, wasn't it, Eric? Mastic. Use the wrong mastic in the wrong application. It doesn't work, does it? So if you don't know your calling and you handle it improperly, there's no good can come from that. And he said there's only joy and peace and compassion when you operate in your gifting in the proper usage of it. Well, I grew up. Did I ever? I'm not going to grow up. Oh, golly. Yeah. Some people just know what they want to be when they're a kid, don't they? And they want to be a doctor or something, don't they, Joel? Or they're going to do this, or they're going to be something. Well, I hadn't got a clue. I was quite a privileged youngster in that I was one of four to come out of primary school and go into to qualify. Remember the 11 plus? I'm old enough to do the 11 plus, to have done that. One of four of us who got to the grammar school, and the future was bright. But I'd seen Top of the Pops. I thought, well, that's it. That's me spoiled. I thought it was on every every night of the week. It came on at Thursday at 7:20 or something. And I thought, before Gary Glitter was not mentionable, there was Gary Glitter, there was Slade, there was Alvin Stardust, there was all these 70s. It was the 70s, the early 70s. That's it. That's me, pop star. Careers Information Officer. I want to be a pop star, sir. So I set about doing that. Didn't need school. I could do school. The trouble with being a little bit intelligent is you don't have to try very hard, and the teachers are busy trying with the kids who are a bit slower, maybe, and trying to catch up. So that you get to clean the PE cupboard instead of doing maths, and you get to do this, and you get to do that. And so it was just, well, once school's done, I'll get discovered, I'll become this pop star and stuff. There are some pop star pictures up there. And I was dedicated to doing that. It took all my time. I sat on the end. I was talking with, I think it was Nico the other day. Do kids still sit? I know some children do, Eric. Do children sit on their beds with a guitar these days, or do they all play Xbox and stuff? Do kids pick up musical instruments and just want to play? Well, I did. I thought, well, I must be in a band. I must be in a band. I couldn't play an instrument to save my life. So I watched Top of the Pops. Bass players, they don't do a lot, I thought. There's a bass player if ever I saw one. They just go dum 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 all the way through a song, and dum 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 dum, and get away with it, and they're in a band. First step to pop stardom. That was me. Bless him. So that was me as well. So I worked hard on being in a band. I'd been in church. I'd been in Boys Brigade because I wanted to play football, so I'd been exposed to church. I don't think I ever heard the gospel. If they preached the gospel, I never heard. I wasn't listening. I'd heard of a place called Capernaum. There was a Christmas crossword one time, and I know that either the crossword or the downword from one was Capernaum, and the one down was, or the other way around, was Centurion. So I had a lot of Bible knowledge. I knew there were stories about that place and that bloke. But it was all deserts and sandals, and none of it had any relevance to being in a band. So what did I need that for? So I had this idea that I had some kind of ability, because I took to it, and people were pleased with my offerings and stuff. But as Eric so eloquently put this morning, if you haven't heard what he said, have a listen. You take something that's God-given, and you, I don't know, what you use it in a dung heap or something rather than for his glory, there's no good comes of it. It can't, can it? It can't be blessed. I don't know how he reacts when he... How would we react if you give your favoured son a beautiful thing, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna do something horrible with it," you know? Oh, there he is again. So that was kind of me. I got to the age of 14 or so. I was fairly liked, which is always important when you're about 14, and being liked by people, being in a band and liked was even better. And there were some guys in the Christian Union at school who were also musical people. So we got chatting one lunchtime. I said, "Guys, what's this about Christians. How do you become a Christian? Now, I really just wanted to take the mickey out of them, really. That was all my own real interest. And they said, well, you just go home and you kneel down and you ask God into your life. And that was as a matter of, I thought, well, I'll give that a go. I can do that. So I went home that night and I thought, right, what have I seen it done in like Christmas cards and stuff? So I knelt down by my bed and my elbows on my bed. I said, God, if you're real, I think I'd really like to know something. And I nearly fell over. There was this, whoa, blimey, O'Reilly Charlie. Thought nothing. No education at all on those things. Went to school the next day and I said, guys, I tried that prayer thing. I said, I nearly fell over. And they said, oh, that'll be the Holy Spirit. And that was that. That was my exposure to God. And a door clanged shut at that point. So I spent another 10 years working on my career, growing moustaches and stuff, and was quite successful. In that particular band, there was the three of us. There are some other pictures of that. We played three times. The first time was a rehearsal. We rehearsed up. The first gig we had was the first round of a competition. The second gig we had was a semi-final. And the third gig, we won. We were the best band in Suffolk. How blessed is that? There were bands from all over Suffolk had come to Ipswich for the final. That was the final. We were the best, and I was the most individual performer. I had an award. And I thought, here we go. I'm on track. It's about that the phone will start ringing. The phone started ringing. There was a guy who was one of the judges, had a stable of songwriters. Would you come and write songs? I said, here I go. Self-made man, sorted, lovely. And you know, when you give yourself to something completely, everything else suffers, doesn't it? And when you're the center of the universe, and you're not really meant to be the center of the universe, it takes its toll on you, doesn't it? And so that was the night of the competition. It was such fun looking through these photographs and scanning them in and reliving some, not reliving them, but revisiting, if only to see how far you've come from where you were. I think I was about 20, 21 on that. Yeah, blimey. About 10 years ago. And so I thought I'd better practice being a pop star. So I got into drinking too much and smoking too much and dabbling in things that people shouldn't. And I got quite good at it. And in fact, these photographs were taken one Sunday morning in Felixstowe. I was supposed to be picking my kids up from my ex-wife then, but I was too busy. That's what hungover looks like on a Sunday morning. It's the truth. I was wrecked that morning. And I was supposed to be. It was just my life was an absolute mess. Absolute mess. I had some notes and I can't read them. But anyway, suffice it to say, cutting quite a long, uninteresting story short, I found myself on a beach in Corfu with a landlord and landlady from my local pub. I was their best customer, and they took me on holiday with them. Isn't that kind? And we got to Corfu. And we had an argument the first day we were there, and they moved to a different apartment, and I was on my own in Greece on holiday for a fortnight, didn't know anybody. And all I did was drink. All I did from morning to night was drink and listen to heavy rock music in my personal stereo, sitting on a beach, crying my eyes out, thinking there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. Good God. And came home with no tan because I was sleeping all day and up all night and a mild case of alcoholic poisoning. And I got home and I did what I'd done some 10, 12 years earlier. I said, God, if you're real, you really have got to do something about me because I am lost. I am the lost one. And you know, I was playing in a band. The band... That photograph was actually in a motorcycle magazine. I think it was Backstreet Heroes or something like that, because we played a gig. I won't tell you what happened later that night, because it's disgusting. But there I am having a great time. That's later on. It's astonishing that anybody can do the things that I was doing and live to tell the tale. Praise God. But I was in this band, and funnily enough, the guy who was the singer, his brother was a worship leader in an NFI church. The guy in the band was anything but a Christian, and we were having a great time. And the guy who was the worship leader came to see his little brother's band and brought some of his friends with him. We were playing in a pub in Ipswich. I hadn't got a music license, so you couldn't have a full band play, but you could have duos. So
the singer would play with the guitarist, and then the singer would sing with the keyboard player, and the keyboard player and the guitarist would play. I was the bass player. There's not a lot of room for a bass player in a duo. But I was... The PA would only fit in my car, and so I had to go to the pub, not play, and stay sober. I was really, really wanting to be there, as you can imagine. That night changed my life. That night changed my life. I went home with somebody's phone number on my hand, because I'm sitting there with my one pint, because I have been disqualified from driving prior to this and got my license back. What a mess. And I don't know if you've ever watched a boxing match. Daniel was talking about boxing matches this morning. But when the big fighter comes in, they dim the lights, don't they, and the music starts thumping, and they follow him in with a spotlight. Well, we're sitting in a pub in town, and I'm sitting there thinking, I really don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here. And it was like the lights went down. I'm assured this didn't happen. And a spotlight followed this woman into the pub. And I turned to the chap I was with. I said, who's that? Who's that that they're doing that in the Greyhound in Ipswich? And it was like, doing what? Oh, that's just fun. You know, she's... I said, well, who is it? She's... I think I was supposed to notice this woman as she came in the pub. And we got chatting and stuff. And where am I going with this, Vonnis? And I asked her out.
The thing was, you know how it is when I wanted to tell people about Jesus, right? And but he was just ripe and ready, because we went. He asked me to go out with him, and I thought, well, he's not going to want to go out with me when he knows how much older I am than he is. Anyway, he didn't ask me that question, so that was fine. And all night long, he asked me, what's different about you? What is it? Who is Jesus? What did he do? You know, all the questions you've ever wanted somebody to ask you. How do you get saved? You know, and that was just it was mad. It was mad and amazing, but a God appointment. You know, we can all have God appointments, can't we? Because he makes them happen. We don't have to engineer anything. You just have to be in the right place at the right time and ready to tell your testimony. That's it. How did God rescue you?
I think you have about 10 minutes.
I've got about 10 minutes. Okay, can I do that? Okay. What we wanted to say was to embrace the journey. And you will get to the goal, because it's God's goal for you, isn't it? Right? But there are sometimes we have to just embrace the journey that we're on. And sometimes you can't figure out what's going on. I've been reading about Paul in Philippians 3, verse 7. And he says, okay, I was this, 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 and this, and this. He was a top guy in the Jewish nation, he did all this stuff, right? But he said, that was nothing. In fact, he said, that was rubbish. All my religious stuff, I just count as nothing. I'm going to ditch it all. In comparison with our life in Christ, it is absolutely nothing. He said, it's, you know, fit to be on the dung heap, really. And that's what we want to do. We want to say, we don't want to keep remembering all the old stuff, but what we do want to remember are the good stuff. We want to remember the rescue. We want to remember the way he rescued us and tell people the way he rescued us. We want to remember the way he's organized things for us, how he organized for us to meet. That was never going to happen, was it? You know, but God. It's always but God, isn't it? Remember the miracles that have happened in your life, because they're part of your testimony. You know, one of our miracles was that we were driving down the A12 to go to a house of prayer in Essex, where we sometimes go to help lead worship. And we were doing about 70. It was rush hour. There was a lorry in the siding. There were cars, both sides of us. This lorry decided to pull out in front of us. We had nowhere to go. It was either go in the back of the lorry, go up the bank, or get squished. So Chris decided that we'd get squished. But at the same time, we both shut our eyes and he shouted, "Jesus!" Right? And at that moment, I don't know what happened, but we found ourselves, instead of being squished, we were in front of the lorry doing a sensible 30 miles an hour going, "How did God do that?" Because it was inevitable that there was going to be a crash. But he took us either through the lorry, over the lorry, who knows? There was no squealing of brakes, there was no nothing. We were just then in front of the lorry going along, and you go, "Lord, that's a miracle." You've all got miracles that have happened in your lives, haven't you? The benefits. And it was Psalm 103, isn't it? You know, forget none of his benefits. They're your testimony, aren't they? The way God has engineered your life, he's got you a job. He's shown you what to do next. Father gave me a fantastic job. I'd been a pastor's wife. I was hopeless at school. I didn't get any A-levels. I didn't get any A-S's or O-levels or anything like that, you know. The one thing I did do was read the word. And the one thing I could do was listen to the Lord and preach it, right? And help people to pray or help them to worship God. That was something I could do. But when all that was left in nothing, what do you do? You go, "Father, what do you want me to do?" And, you know, it's another story altogether. But he got me this amazing job as a massage therapist. I would never have thought of that in a million years. But it goes really well with pastoring people and helping them and loving them and laying hands on them and praying for them. You know, it's great. I love it. My little 96-year-old lady, do a massage for her, and she just loves it. You know, and then there's opportunity every now and again. Say, "Would you like me to pray for that pain? Because Jesus can take it away." You know, sometimes they say, "Oh, yes, lovely dear." And sometimes they go, "No, don't believe in that." Well, I go, "Well, I do. Can I pray for you as well? You know, can I still do it?" Anyway, that's another story. All the blessings, all the financial blessings. You know, Father has said, "I will give you everything of heaven is yours. Everything. I don't hold anything back from you because you're my favorite. I'm his favorite. You're his favorite. He keeps us." It's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same spirit that you have, isn't it? You know? And it says also that he'll give life to your mortal body. That same spirit is going to give life to your mortal body. That's this flesh and blood, right? So if you're sick tonight, you can get healed, right? I've been healed. I was healed of... have you ever seen a massage therapist with dermatitis all over their hands? Well, that's what, you know, the enemy tried to put on me. And we prayed, and it's gone. And I don't have that anymore. I don't even think about it anymore. Praise God. The truth of grace. And it says, encourage yourself in your most holy faith. So you need to remember all the benefits, don't you? You know. And the other thing, have I got time just to say these things, right? Because it's really important. Remember what God has already told you, right? The prophetic words that have come to you over the time, you know, might have been a long time ago, but they're still standing, aren't they? If God has spoken something over your life, it is going to happen, right? The Old Testament talks of Jesus coming. Did he come? Yes, he came. Did he do the stuff? Yes, he did the stuff. Right? Well, it's the same with you. If God has spoken over your life and he's told you something, it's going to happen. Just one little instance, right? I was part of a church for a while, and the Lord told me to stop playing. I love playing my keyboard. And the Lord said, "I don't want you to help lead worship anywhere. I want you to stop. I want you to put it down." And a church that I knew really well said, "Could you just come and play the keyboard for us? Because we haven't got anybody, you know." And I said, "Yes, of course I will." And so I went. I was stood there. We were ready to start the service. And the Lord said to me, "Von, what do you think you're doing? What are you doing? I asked you not to." And I was going, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, you know, but I can't actually walk off the stage now because they would think I was..." Anyway, I didn't do it. I played for worship. And but afterwards, I sold my keyboard because the Lord said, don't do it. I want to wrap you up in plasters. I want to make you better. And I want you to do what I tell you to do. And when the time is right, I will let you do it, right? And then, I had no keyboard. I had nothing. And we had a Canadian lady come to preach at a church. And we were having dinner together. She knew nothing about me at all. Nothing. And she said to me, she said, oh, I can see you. She said, I can see you carrying a keyboard and you're playing worship music, but you're traveling, right? And you're carrying this keyboard with you. She said, do you play? So I said, well, yes, I do, but at this moment I don't. And she said, well, you will. I mean, look at us now, what we're doing now. You know, we play here, we go to Ireland, we go to, you know. And the Lord, it always happens. So remember the prophetic words, right? And I'm nearly done. Right. Embrace the journey, because today might not look like the journey. You know, Paul in Philippians, it was his first time in jail, right? And he'd written this letter to the Philippians, and he said, I'm going to ditch all this stuff. And then he says, it must have looked really bad for him, mustn't it? You know, he was sitting in prison, and then he's saying, but I haven't achieved everything that the Lord has called me to do. Right? He says, I'm pressing forward to achieve those things. Now, if I've got that theologically wrong, that's how it sounded to me when I read it, right? But he says, I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God has laid hold of you for a reason, hasn't he? Right? And we're going to press on towards that. Now, it's like you've got muscles in your body, haven't you? I'll talk about muscles because I know about muscles, right? You've got muscles in your body. You want to be a muscle man. What do you do? You work on those muscles. The muscles are God-given. They're already in your body. But you have to do something to work towards them. And I think that was... We have to practice things. We have to... It's like with us, right? With our anointing, with the gift that God has given us, if we didn't practice, or if we didn't search out new songs, or if we didn't try and learn new things, or... Press on because we want to help people. We want to be facilitators to help people worship God. If we didn't do that, it would be a bit lame, wouldn't it? And I think that's what God is saying to us, you know. Watch your calling. Embrace the journey. Work at it. Work at your gifting. And just enjoy today. Right? You might say, well, but God has called me to the nations and I'm stuck in Dagenham. Right? But he will take you to the nations. Because he has spoken it, all right? Or, you know, I think I might have missed it at some point along the way. No, you haven't missed it. God, if God has spoken, it's going to happen. You might have said, I'd rather go this way for 5 minutes. But God will always bring you back and will bring you to the place you're meant to do. Press on to the goal. I think that's it. Amen. I think so. Yeah, let's... Yeah, let's finish with the song.
Can Which we finish one with is the it? Song, folks? Isn't she good? Yeah. You know, it's exciting when you hear that if you trust God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, the desire of my heart was to walk through airports carrying a guitar. That was what pop stars do. And the minute you stop trying to be a pop star, you find yourself walking through airports with a guitar. It's just astonishing. What they don't tell you is you have to fight with the Nigerian guy in Abuja who wants to carry your guitar for you. He's been assigned to carry your guitar. No, it's my desire. I'm going to carry this guitar through this airport because I still have a little bit of a pop star in me. But eventually you get that worked out and it's okay. So, praise God. So this is a song we wrote. Thank you for having us. I hope we haven't been too long-winded. You're lovely, you are.
Long-winded, yeah.
Long-winded. This is a song that simply says, he's in love with you and there's nothing you can do. My Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to share with you. Ben, are you going to come and make perfect sense of all of that somehow?
Wasn't that awesome? Ah, it was just beautiful. I learned things about Chris and Vaughn I never knew. I didn't realize how much of a physical resemblance the younger you has to Simon Pegg, Chris.
Simon Pegg.
Awesome. Now, how much would you pay to take Chris and Vaughn home with you? Because they have got an album here. It's got that song they've just sung, He Loves You. Those who were here yesterday, we sang Victory in Jesus during the worship. That's on there too. My favorite song, it's also Dave Dwell's favorite song, Ninguna. That's on this album as well. And it's just an amazing album. My son Joel, who, you know, he just spent a week living with Chris and Vaughn. He's, you know, he wouldn't be where he is today without what they've inputted into him and how they've mentored him in terms of leading worship and stuff. We're just really pleased. On that level. But he puts this on his Xbox soundtrack. It's quite bizarre watching someone shoot zombies to Chris and Vaughn songs, but it's a way to do it. How much is this, Chris? 7, 8, 10, 15?
No.
23. It's whatever you want to pay. There you go. That's pretty nice. That's a pretty generous cost. Let's just pray and let's just thank God for this evening. And don't just rush off. You know, there's fruit. Pete and Sarah did a great job at the back there. Pete has been amazing, by the way. Just amazing. Anybody who's had a cup of tea or a coffee or a nectarine or a biscuit, that is Pete's doing. And he's just done a fantastic job this conference. Very grateful. So please just hang around, chill, and we're going to have a great evening still. Okay, Father. Oh, Father, what to say? Jeepers, you have done an amazing job this evening. You've led us beautifully in the worship. You rejoiced over us with singing. It was beautiful to hear, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us know. Father, we just want to thank you for Chris and Vaughn, for the treasure that you've put inside them, for the way they've stewarded and developed and nurtured their gifts. And Lord, we just speak that the best is yet to come, that they haven't seen nothing yet. We just pray that one day Chris is going to walk through an airport and there'll be people carrying his guitars and he's got one left over to carry himself to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Cheers, guys.